All right, we're talking about expanding. Who wants to expand? Okay, eat more Hostess products. Okay, that was horrible. I'm sorry. Let's pray for a moment. Let's talk to God, ask His blessing. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for the opportunity and the privilege, God, to speak to Your people today. God, I ask that You would open their ears. God, that You would quicken their hearts and spirits, God, to receive from the Word what You would have for them today. God, I yield my tongue and my mind to You today, Lord God, that You would speak through me. God, that You would bring Your words of encouragement, God, Your words of instruction, God, Your words of discipline, God, to Your people. Father, that they would be corrected and set straight. God, that they would be lifted up from the depths they're in. God, that they would be inspired to move forward in You, God, in the fullness of life that You have for them. God, that they would move forward in the anointing, the gifts and talents that You've set before them. Father, I thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So expand. This is the third week of the series. This week we're going to talk about being Spirit-led. And I was asked, is this like a bullet sermon? Is this about guns and ammo? Like L-E-A-D, lead? I said, well, I didn't think about that. But no, it is L-E-D, lead, Spirit-led. So I know hunting season's coming up, but I'm going to refrain from using too much hunting jargon as much as I can. What do you think of when you think of expand? I think of growing, getting bigger, going out, spreading, opening. I spent several years in the construction field, so I think of remodels. Okay, we need to blow out this wall because we are expanding the building that way 30 feet. So I think of coming in and removing all that you don't want or don't need. Coming in and tearing out. When I'm going into the mountains and we're expanding a trail, we take saws and axes and machetes and shovels and whatever we need, and we remove all the debris that we don't want in the trail or near the trail so that we can expand it so there's a clear and easy path to follow. So as we're expanding in our lives to become Spirit-led, we probably have to deal with the spirit side of us, right? So we have to go into our spirit. We have to clear out and move everything that is not wanted. Maybe our flesh wants it, but God does not want it in us. So we need to move it out, remove it, throw it away, kick it over the hill. You always throw it downhill because if you throw it uphill, sooner or later it comes back in the trail. So we take it out, we throw it downhill to make way for the new spirit. The Spirit of God within us, for the Spirit of God to lead and direct us. The children of Israel were enslaved. They were in bondage in Egypt. God says, it is time to expand. We're going to get you out of Egypt. You can go to the book of Exodus and read all the story to put all the pieces together if you want to or need to. But I'm just going to paraphrase some of this Exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt today. So God brings the 10 plagues on Egypt. Pharaoh finally says, okay, get rid of them. Get them out of here. They get out into the wilderness a ways. They come up against the Red Sea. So now what do? God said we need to expand. We need to go further. They're at the edge of the Red Sea. Pretty soon here comes Pharaoh and his army. He decides he's going to take them back into captivity and slavery. They have to get off the dry land, step into the water, for the water to expand. It took action on their part. They had to move forward to expand. They couldn't just stand there and wait for something to happen. They had to move forward. They had to take that step of faith. Say, God, this is a big ocean, or sea rather. There's fish in it bigger than me, but I'm going to take that step of faith because the Word of God tells us the just shall live by faith. If you can see every step you're taking, you're not living by faith. If you can plan out every movement you make, you're not living by faith. I'm not saying you're not just, but the Word of God says the just shall live by faith. Okay? As we expand our spirit, we should be living more and more by faith each day. Saying, God, it looks black and blurry and I can't see past here today. But by faith, I'm stepping into the darkness. By faith, I'm stepping into the water. And I will watch you do your wonders, your might, your works. I will watch the waters part on either side of me. And I will look straight ahead to where you're sending me, not behind me to who's chasing me, who chooses to devour, to destroy, to enslave me. But I'm looking ahead to what God has called me to do. Looking forward into our future in Christ Jesus. Amen? So when you want to expand something, go in, renovate it. Tear out everything that is not needed, that is unwanted, that is in the way, that will stifle you, that will cause you to stumble. Remove it. Throw it downhill, not uphill. And then you got to bring in the good stuff. What's the good stuff? The Word of God. The truth of the Word of God, the Bible itself, is jam-packed and loaded with the good stuff. This is what we need to replace in our lives when we go in and we renovate. When we go in and we're ready to expand and grow. We're going to look in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read a few verses. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. Who do you live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit? Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So as we're renovating and looking inside of ourselves, we have to say, what part of me is giving way to the desires of the flesh? What part of me is fleshly? What part of me is spiritual? Because if we're led and directed by the Spirit, it brings life and peace. If we're led and directed by the flesh, it brings death, and it is unpleasing to God. Who wants to be unpleasing to God? Just a show of hands, anyone? Okay, that's good. I was hoping no one would raise their hand for that one. I want to be pleasing to God. And throughout my life, God has asked me to remove several things from my life. Were they good? Were they bad? That's indifferent. What was really going on was I willing to give it up for God? They weren't sinful acts. I wasn't doing anything wrong by world standards or by God's standards. They were just things in my life. God said, will you give this up? Will you set it aside for my cause? Instead of doing that, will you do this for me? And God calls each and every one of us in that same aspect. At one point in my life, God asked me to give up country music. I know that's bad to say here in the valley, right? I like country music. But at one point, God asked me, will you give this up? Will you stop listening to it? And just before this, by the way, He had spoke to me through a country song. Okay, keep that in mind. I said, yeah, He said, will you listen to Christian talk radio? Will you listen to this? Will you listen to CDs? Will you listen to sermons? Will you grow and develop yourself? Will you expand? So I had to remove from my life, even though it wasn't sinful, it wasn't tearing me down or destroying me, or at least I don't think it was. I mean, I got my wife, so I couldn't get her back, and I got my dog, so I couldn't get it back. God will ask you to remove things from your life, not because it's sinful, not because it's bad, not because you're a bad person, but because He wants to pull it out and put some more of Him in. Because He wants to expand you in your led by the Spirit moments. He wants to grow you. He wants to work through you in more ways than He has already. He wants to say, okay, you've accomplished level 2. I want to take you to level 3. My son is a video game crazy man, and he's really good at them. He says, Dad, guess what? I just started playing this game today, and I'm already at level 33. If we could get so excited about the levels of spiritual life as he is about the video game, where would our world be today? How many of our friends and family and neighbors would be saved that currently are not? If we could get that excited about expanding and growing ourselves into the next level of what God has for us, the next level of ministry in our lives, the next level of being a great child in our lives, the next level of being a great parent in our children's lives, the next level of being a great spouse to our spouse, the next level of being a great employee to our employers, or employer to your employee. What would the world look like today if we continue growing and we're led by the Spirit in all those arenas of our lives? I think it would be amazing. I think we'd see a lot less hostility, a lot less death and destruction, and we would see a lot more life and peace. So you guys jump on board with me today and expand into the next level of your spiritual life, the next level that God has set before you. Once we get in the house, this is the house, the temple of the Holy Spirit, us, we are. Once you get into the house and you clean it out, what you bring back in is the foundation of biblical truths. If you're a parent, please don't get Dr. Phil's best book or Dr. Spock's best book and go read How to Be a Great Parent and Improve Your Parenting Skills. Because since the beginning of time, God has laid His word down, His foundation down of how you can be a good parent. Dig into the Word of God. What does God say I should do as a parent? God does say, discipline your child, but do not exasperate them. Do not provoke them to anger, but do discipline them when they need it. Children, don't be talking to your friends about how they treat their mom or dad. Don't be talking to the latest, greatest superstars on TV about how they treat their mom and dads and then treat your parents likewise. Go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say I should act like as a child? The Word of God says, children, obey your parents, and it will go well with you. You will have long life. Some days I want to grab my kids, wring their necks. Like T.D. Jakes says it. He said when he was a kid, his mama would grab him and paddle him and say, boy, if you don't line out, I will send you back to Jesus because your daddy and I can make another one look just like you. So there you go, kids. There's options. Children, obey your parents. That is the word of the Lord spoken over you if you want to have a good long life. Obey. Sons and daughters of God Most High, obey your parent, the Lord God Almighty. And I can speak to this because as a young man growing up through school, I wrote tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of word reports for insubordination. I didn't even know what that word meant. So my health teacher made me write a report on insubordination. So now I know what it meant. All through my school life growing up, I would not submit to authority. Some of you spiritually are insubordinate. You will not submit to the spiritual authorities God has placed over your lives. You will not submit to God Almighty. And you're writing spiritual reports. You're sitting out in the hallway taking an F on your exam because you won't write your report and you won't get back in the class and engage in your spiritual walk with your Lord God Almighty. And I spent lots of time in the classroom. Fourth grade, I had a permanent desk in the hallway outside the class. Class would start, and my teacher would say, "Head to your desk. I'm just not even going to deal with you today." Isn't it amazing what God can do in us if we'll allow it? And I'm not through that battle. It still rises up in me some days. And I want to say, "Kelly, I'm not following. I'm done. I'm tapped out." But I don't run to that. I go to God and say, "God, show me. What's he doing? Where's he taking us? What's really happening?" And God says, "Yes, Kelly's doing my will. He's going where I've asked him to go. He's doing what I've asked him to do." And then it's real easy for me to jump back on board and say, "Okay, I don't see the picture yet. I don't see what's happening yet, but I know Kelly has the heart of God, and he's doing what God's called him to do, so I can follow that. I can jump on board with that." And that's what you need to do as well. Because if we're rebutting against the headship God has placed over us, not just Kelly, it goes to our district officials, our national officials. Where is God leading the Pentecostal Church of God nationally, worldwide? We've got to get on board with what God is doing. Because it's not Kelly's agenda. It's not Bishop DeWayne's agenda. It's not Bishop Scott's agenda. It's God's agenda. And they're following the heart of God as clearly and accurately as they possibly can. And if we're not in line with that, we're not being led by the Spirit. If we're not in line with that, we're causing division among the brethren. That's not all right with God. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. And that's why you're still writing your 10,000-word report. See, Mr. Swan gave me a bunch of those, I think. John says, "Yep." I deserved them all, so don't think the teachers were bad. I deserve them. We got to admit, forgive, forget, and move on. Amen. Oh, where are we at here? We've got a lot to cover and a little bit of time. Let's jump into John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. John 14, 15 through 17. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." God says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me. And I'm going to send you my Spirit to lead and guide you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. If you ask him to leave, he's going to leave. If you say, "I don't want your help," he's not going to give you help. But all it takes is repentance and an invite. It's okay, I screwed up, God. I can't do this on my own. Will you please lead me? Will you please guide me? Will you direct me? Will you show me your path for my life? That's what God is calling us to do. Can you guys tell when you're out of tune with the Spirit? Can you tell when you're just not clicking? Or I'm not where I should be. I'm not spending enough time in prayer with God, communing with God. I'm not spending enough time reading the Word of God. I mean, I don't even know what a promise of God is because I haven't been in the Word. I don't know what fellowship with the brethren is because I haven't been to church in like 6 months. When I have hunts that take up my Sundays and I have to work on Sunday, I feel empty that week. If I have two in a row, I feel really empty. I'm still reading my Word and I'm still praying, but I'm missing the body of Christ, you guys. I'm missing you in my life. Plug into the body of Christ. Plug into your Word. Plug into your prayer time, your commune time with God. Build yourself up in your spirit and in the Word of God, truth. Build yourself up in truth. John 15, I was going to read it. We're going to skip that. You can go ahead and put it up if you want. I'm going to paraphrase it. 15, 5 through 8. It's talking about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. We've got to remain plugged in. We've got to remain fast into the vine. Jesus Christ. If we separate ourselves from it, we can last a little while. We might even keep some green leaves on for a little while, but we're not going to bear fruit. We will not bear fruit. And it says, if the branch is disconnected long enough, it's good for nothing but to be cast away and thrown into the fire and burned. It's good for nothing. God doesn't just want you to have green leaves on you. He wants you to be leaf producing and fruit bearing. He wants to see the fruit. What are you doing with what I've given you? If you go back to the story of the tenants with the talents, two of the guys take their talents out and go make more of it. One guy, he's scared. He takes it, he hides it. Says, the master will be back one day. I have his talent, I'm good. The master comes back and says, what are you doing, you wicked servant? You just kept my talent? You didn't do anything with it? You didn't increase it for me? You didn't grow it? You didn't produce fruit? God wants us to produce fruit. I'm going to jump in the last part of 15 there. And verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Bearing the fruit of the Lord is to show yourself to be his disciple. Without fruit, what did Jesus do to the tree? He cursed it and told it to die. We must bear fruit. I want to share a story with you. Just kind of an example of what being led by the Spirit can do, not only for your life, but for the lives of those around you. Earlier this summer, I was sitting up here. Kelly was ending the service. He invited the prayer team forward, and only one or two of our prayer team members were here. I was getting ready to get out of my seat to come up and pray for people. And of course, I was being led by the Spirit, my wife, the voice of the Holy Spirit. She says, no, you need to go out back and meet people. You need to go out back and greet people. I said, but there's only like one or two people up here. They need help on the prayer team. She says, no, get out back. So I took her advice. I went out back. As I got out back, I saw this man going across the parking lot. And something in my spirit said, run him down and talk to him. Happened to be a person I knew from outside of church. I started talking with him, hearing his story a little bit. And he said, yeah, I'm at the end of my rope. And I figured I would give church a try as one last attempt before I check out of life. I talked with him, went and had lunch with him the next day. Since then, he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. Yeah, clap for that. Heaven rejoices, we should too. All of heaven rejoices louder over that one salvation than all of your righteousness, all of your right deeds and actions. So don't think too highly of yourself. Because the greatest sinner coming to repentance and acceptance of salvation is greater than any righteous deed or act we could ever perform. We are all sinners saved by grace. And now we no longer live a life of sin. We just live a life with sin. And every day we have to tell it to get out. Get out. Get out. I'm a work in progress. I'm being renewed. I'm being made whole. Get out. Sin, get out of here. Get away from me. As we're expanding and growing to where God has called us to, I'm going to invite my wife to come. She's going to play for us. I forgot to tell her what song. Freedom, please. Sure. This one. See, I messed up again. I didn't get her the right song. So it's my fault. I'm sorry, dear. Is that not the right one? That one will be fine, or any of them. I want to give us a moment to come before God and say, I repent, God, of not doing your will. I want to repent, God, of holding on to the talent, the gift, the treasure you've given me and not doing anything with it. I'm guilty of that some days. Saying, God, I'm lazy today. I don't want to do it. God, I don't want to get out of my seat. God, I don't want to go forward. God, I don't want to whatever. Yesterday, I had a day off. I was finally spending a day with my kids. I'm looking out the window, and my neighbor's over there struggling, chopping his wood, and he's got this mound of wood. And I was like, I don't want to go out there and help him, God. God says, go help him. So I grab my three little kids, get my ducks in a row. I say, hey, can we come over and we help you stack your wood? Can we help you split your wood? We get all his wood split and stacked, and okay, I'm going to go back and enjoy my day with my kids. As I'm walking back to our house, I look across the street, and the other neighbor's putting his roof on. And he doesn't know what he's doing. He's putting the shingles on upside down. And having a background in construction, I'm just like, really? Serious? So my two older kids wanted to go play at the neighbor kids anyway, and I said, okay, go ahead and play. It's time for the little one's nap, so I went and tucked her in bed. Grabbed my nail bags and all my gear I would need and head on over there and say, hey, how's it going? You need help? He goes, yeah. I'm not real sure I know what I'm doing. No. As nice and polite as you can. And all he could think about was one of the people that works at Jacob's lives down the street past us. And he said, I don't want him to come by and see what I did wrong. So I helped him, worked on his roof as much as we could. But in those moments that God calls you, asks you, will you be willing? Will you set your agenda aside? Will you clear out what the flesh says? Will you clear out what your human nature says and set it aside and allow me to come in and allow my light to shine through you to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to the waitress that just spilled your drink on you, to the waitress that just put ketchup on your eggs and you didn't want it? Will you set your preference and your agenda aside in that moment? And through your actions, through your words, say, Jesus loves you. I very strongly believe God wants to expand us here at the Life Center. But I also very strongly believe that He wants our repentance first. He wants us to make our hearts right with God. He wants us to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not a flippant, oh yeah, God, I did screw up the other day. Sorry about that. I hope it gets better. You know why David was a man after God's own heart? It was because he slept with a guy's wife and then killed the husband. Right? No. It was because he repented with his whole heart. He tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth. He put ashes on his head. He sat and would not eat or drink. He truly repented. He wailed and mourned, said, God, only if I could be right with you again. Because of his quickness and his wholeheartedness to repent before God, he was considered a man after God's own heart. Because he sought the presence of the Lord, because he worshiped and praised God Almighty. So I want to invite you forward for whatever it might be in your life. It might not be a sin issue. It might just be, God, I've been sitting idle. God, I've been sitting in the hall writing my reports because I'm unwilling to move from my position. Because I'm unwilling to move from where I'm at today. Because I don't like the assignment set before me today. This is going to be a little easier than Jonah had it. Because I think God can get a fish big enough up this river to swallow you and pack you around till you decide to repent. So you can have it Jonah's way or God's way. If you guys would come forward, I'm going to repent. I need to repent. God, forgive me. If you guys would come forward, if you need to repent of anything or of everything, God's here, he's waiting, he's meeting you. Coming forward is just a representation of God, I'm coming to your feet. Jesus, I'm coming to the cross. I'm coming to meet you as you came and met me. Christ came from heaven down to earth as a human to meet us, to pave the way for us. Father, we just worship you, Lord God. Father, we repent, God, of our sins, our trespasses against you, Lord God. Father, of our negativity, God, we repent. God, we repent for when we've rejected you or your call on our lives, God. Father, we repent, God, for not doing your will. Father, for putting our agenda above yours. God, for putting our will, our needs, our wishes above yours. God, for putting our wants above yours. Father, we repent before you today. God, make us anew. Make us fresh before you, Lord God. Father, we choose to do your will. God, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your kingdom expanded before us, God. Father, we want to be a part in your expansion. God, we want to be led by your Spirit. We want to be directed by your Spirit, God. Father, that we would meet the needs of those around us, God, according to your Spirit. God, that we would help the hurting. God, that we would help heal the broken. God, that we would meet the needs of those you would send into our life. God, we thank you for this. God, we ask your blessing. God, as we move forward in you, God, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. Father, you are worthy. You are mighty. Father, we worship you today. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Will you guys worship with us?
I'm unclean.
Yes, Lord God. Father, we worship you, God.
For my eyes have seen. The whole king, and woe is me, for I'm unclean, for my eyes have seen the holy king, and it cleansed my lips. Right before I died,
on the pillar, Father, you are worthy. You are holy, God. Father, we worship you.
You are holy.
as we yield ourselves to God. We see His glory unveiled. We see the impossible take place before your very eyes. You see the unimaginable happen, the supernatural, as we yield our lives to Him, as we renovate ourselves to make room for Him, as we rid ourselves of our flesh and our flesh nature and flesh desires and replace it with our spirit nature, the Spirit of God, the direction of God, as we are spirit-led. We will see God's kingdom come. We will see God's will be done. We will see your friends and neighbors, lives changed for the glory of God. Amen. 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 I ask you guys to get out your Connect card, if you will. If you filled it out already, that's great. If not, go ahead and take some time and do that, please.